Upheaval Reckoning, Chapter 35, A Thorn's Purpose. The element of loyalty is flaring up Longstride. The mistress expects a report on the current situation.
Why isn't she the one contacting me?
She's a little indisposed at the moment. Nothing that should concern you.
The target has moved out of range. I am unable to verify her current situation.
That short exchange between him and Lioncourt continued to replay itself in Longstride's mind as he scanned the forest for his targets. He had strained his wings to the limit, keeping up with those two as they made their mad dash. It was impossible. At the very best of his flying efforts, he saw two very small dots on the horizon begin to descend before completely escaping his vision. All he had was a very vague approximation of where they might have landed. That was yesterday. It was already late morning of the following day. It felt as if he was still caught in yesterday until he found his target again. That it was Lioncourt who communicated with him was vaguely bothersome. With Blue Moon having gone rogue, Lioncourt must have taken on the leadership role. The Thorns never had to replace any pony before, but it had to happen at some point. It was his reply that provided the greatest distraction of the moment.
The target has moved out of range.
Longstride had served the Legion as a sniper for more than half his life. He had taken down Bracuri, Kotal Overlords, and Earthen Titans with a properly timed and placed shot. Never, in all those years of service, had he ever said the words, "The target has moved out of range." Being a member of Black Rose's Thorns left little room for hubris. Talented as they were, each member was but a tool to be used by a far greater pony for a purpose larger than any of them could hope to understand. Rainbow Dash's speed was never in doubt. There had always been that chance that she would be able to fly out of sight. He wasn't humiliated in the least that she did so. What Longstride felt was uncertainty. He had been sure that Rainbow Dash was the worst of the elements of harmony. Impetuous, arrogant, undisciplined, and not very bright. Yet, she had gained some attunement to the element she bore, and her mind had survived when he was sure it would have crumbled instantly. He had misjudged his target greatly, and this didn't sit in well with him. He flitted through the trees, careful to reveal as little of his presence as possible. The last thing he wanted right now was to be spotted by his targets before he spotted them.
Have some faith in Rainbow Dash.
Black Rose's request remained with Longstride. Faith in Rainbow Dash. It had occurred to him that he might be in the cusp of having that. It was a dangerous thing to happen. At the start of this mission, Rainbow Dash's failure and demise was nothing more than a setback. He would shoulder some of the blame for getting her killed, but that was it. Seeing what she had done and was still doing left him wondering if she might be worthy of the heavy responsibility she was carrying. This should be a good thing. A stronger Rainbow Dash meant more success for Black Rose's plans. Yet here he was, caught between wanting Rainbow to succeed and letting himself maintain the distance he deemed necessary. Looking for two Pegasi in the wood was no small task. A squad of Legionnaires could comb through this area without turning up anything. He didn't have a squad of Legionnaires. Not only that, he had to make sure that he wasn't seen. The noon sun was upon him when he finally sighted something among the trees. A flash of colors followed by rustling leaves. Rainbow led the way while Scarlet followed reluctantly. The two had taken to flying beneath the trees to avoid being shot in the open. Longstrike conceded that Rainbow Dash was, at least, smart enough to learn from earlier mishaps. There had to be some way for her to survive up to adulthood after all. Longstride took cover and had an arrow ready. They were passing too close for comfort. If they were wolven or ursins and were downwind of him, they'd be lunging towards his hiding spot already. The range provided him with some advantage as well. He could observe them a little better and notice more details. Rainbow Dash was sweating so profusely given that she was flying rather slowly. She may be lacking in prudence, but she was no slouch when it came to athletics. Half a day's flying should not leave her panting and sweating like this.
The after effects of those drugs must be taking hold. Scarlet Rabbit had noticed as well, not surprising with his own history of off-the-deck drug usage. Longstride aimed the arrow at his neck. Scarlet Rabbit's purpose was over. From now on, his continued survival would only prove harmful to Rainbow Dash. A single shot should take care of the matter.
Longstride!
Black Rose's soft, low-pitched voice flooded Longstride's ears. He lowered his bow.
How are you feeling, mistress?
He asked, his voice low and far from the earshot of his targets.
Much better. I see that you've finally caught up with Rainbow Dash.
Yes, I am about to make adjustments as we speak.
Take a little more time to consider, Longstride.
Longstride flitted to the next available hiding spot as the two moved on.
Scarlet Rabbit's elimination should prove more beneficial in the long run, he said. She has more important friends to draw out her loyalty.
I'm not just talking about the effects of Scarlet Rabbit's death.
I do not understand, mistress.
How do you feel about the whole matter?
Longstride's answer was pure reflex.
My feelings about this matter are irrelevant.
If I required you to simply assassinate some pony, that would have sufficed. Your task is a little more complicated this time.
Longstride still didn't understand. He had his reasons for having to do this. Scarlet Rabbit was a liability likely to drag Rainbow Dash into more trouble than was needed to draw out her power. Wouldn't it make sense to eliminate him? He looked at his target again. Rainbow Dash had landed under one tree in exhaustion while Scarlet Rabbit hovered near her. Whatever effect the element of loyalty had on Rainbow Dash appeared to have its own drawbacks, which were combining with the after effects of both the befuddling grass and the fool's cap. There was also the beating she took from Scarlet Rabbit and the still healing wound on her flank. Right now she was a far cry from the arrogant, undisciplined filly he first encountered when he took on this mission. One of her eyes had swollen badly. There was fresh blood on the bandages around her cutie mark, and it also looked like she was having trouble keeping her balance. Through it all, she reacted as if she would drag herself and Scarlet Rabbit back to Canterlot if she had to. Longstride began to understand why he shouldn't rush to slay Scarlet Rabbit. Rainbow Dash had risked much to keep him from getting himself killed. A single shot would render all her efforts, efforts that included drawing strength from the element of loyalty, meaningless.
Look, I'll carry you on my back if you want me to, Scarlet Rabbit said.
Rainbow shook her head. Longstride almost felt glad about that answer. There was a stubborn, foolish pride he knew. The two were forced to lengthen their short break into a long rest. Rainbow Dash lay on her belly while Scarlet gathered some nearby grass for lunch. Much to Longstride's alarm, he recognized some of the grasses that Scarlet Rabbit pulled out. Rainbow Dash was about to be treated to some of Sable Steel's favorite ingredients.
Foul, he muttered.
Long years in the North must have frozen any knowledge of southern herbs in Scarlet's mind. Longstride raised his eyebrow again. His first instinct was to shoot the grass right off Scarlet Rabbit's mouth. However, an arrow from nowhere would panic them and send them flying in some random direction. Starting a fight or a chase would be detrimental to the mission. Still, he had to
observe.
Longstride shook his head. Yes, that was the action he was supposed to take. What had he been thinking just a while ago? If Rainbow Dash died of poisoning, they simply had to replace her. He remembered that incident back in Ghastly Gorge. If he had not intervened, Rainbow Dash would not have made it up to this point. That act cast doubt on her newfound attunement to the element of loyalty. This may be the opportunity to correct his mistake.
Here, Scarlet Rabbit offered the bundle of grass to Rainbow. You need to eat.
Something within Longstride snapped. He quickly undid the straps that bound his survival kit to him, flew into the clearing with his bow drawn, then aimed at Rainbow Dash. At the sight of him, they both flapped their wings for a fight. At least Scarlet Rabbit was able to hover. Rainbow flapped her wings a few times, then landed.
Stop right there, Longstride said.
He glanced at Scarlet before refocusing on Rainbow Dash.
Stand down, Stallion. Try anything and she gets an arrow to the head.
For a moment, Longstride actually thought that Scarlet was going to try something anyway. He looked ready to charge, but he eventually backed down.
"You're that sniper," Rainbow Dash said weakly.
"About 100 feet from this spot, there's a small stream," Longstride told Scarlet. "Get several cups of water from it. You will also spot a type of flower along its bank. They have thin, pointed blue petals in a star pattern. Follow that stream a short distance and you'll find a stand of slender trees with large, fan-like yellow leaves. Bring several of those as well."
"What am I supposed to carry the water with?" Scarlet asked.
"About 30 feet behind me, you'll find my survival kit. Bring it with you."
Longstride adjusted his position as Scarlet flew tentatively towards where his kit was. Their eyes met for a moment and it was clear to him that, if he lost control of this situation, Scarlet would swiftly beat him into a pulp. With Scarlet off to follow his instructions, he turned his gaze back to Rainbow Dash, who was glaring at him as defiantly as she could.
"What are you planning?" Rainbow asked.
Longstride didn't reply. It wasn't just because he had no intention of striking any conversation with Rainbow Dash. He was still wrestling with what exactly he was doing. Scarlet came back with the things he requested.
"Build a fire and start boiling those flowers," he told Scarlet. "While they're boiling, find some flat rocks and grind those leaves into a paste."
Again, Scarlet did as he was told. Minutes passed while he built a fire and prepared all the plants. Throughout the whole thing, Longstride kept his bow drawn and aimed.
"Apply that paste around her swollen eye and her scrapes," he said once Scarlet was done.
He then turned towards Rainbow.
"Drink that water, down to the last drop."
"No way,"
Rainbow said.
"It's probably poison."
Longstride nearly dropped his bow.
"I have an arrow aimed at your skull, foal. Why would I bother with poisons?"
It took some time before Rainbow Dash's indignation lessened enough for the logic to sink in. Longstride waited as she tried a few times to hold the bowl without burning herself. When she got the first mouthful in, she grimaced and looked about to spit it out, but Longstride glared at her.
"Full of a nag!"
Rainbow exclaimed.
"This is bitter stuff!"
"Keep drinking. Down it all."
Rainbow glared back at Longstride, then did as she was told. She let out a long exhale through her mouth once she was finished.
"If you're not trying to poison me, what is in this stuff?"
she asked.
"For the fever," Longstride replied.
The confused looks on both Rainbow and Scarlet only served to mirror his own uncertainty.
"What am I doing?"
he asked himself. He had cornered himself with this foolish decision. What was he supposed to do next? Warn them about following him and fly off? Guard them from their own foolishness until they made it back to Canterlot? Why had he chosen to step in again? The answer was obvious, however. He could already picture his mistress reclining on her bed with yet another cunning smile. "A little face," she would say. "That's why." Longstride crushed the notion, as best as he could anyway. Maybe in the recess of his mind, he was impressed. She had certainly exceeded his expectations. Maybe a small seed of face had been planted. Maybe the element of loyalty had chosen well, that Rainbow Dash was capable of rising to her role. It was too early. Let the seed be just a seed.
"Third squad is moving south to find you," he said. "Fly above the trees and follow that direction."
He pointed a hoof northward.
"You will not be shot down if you do this. Try to follow me and you will both die."
He backed away slowly.
"Stay safe from now on, Rainbow Dash," he said before flying off.
Sable Steel closed her eyes and listened as music flowed from Black Rose's bedroom. She didn't like Octavia, but she had to admit that this music would have given Rhapsody a run for her bits. It certainly aided them greatly now. Last night, Black Rose had returned from her meeting with Prince Tirado in a foul mood. Unlike her beloved, she didn't thunder or rumble. Instead, her displeasure wafted from her like a black, toxic fog. Sable still felt as if she was about to suffocate when the mistress first came in. Octavia played some sad, haunting tune. After a while, the air in their headquarters lightened. Sable continued to stand just outside of Black Rose's room with her eyes closed as the last notes faded away. She heard the doors open and the sound of a sharp inhale.
"Miss Sable," Octavia said, "I wasn't expecting you there."
Sable opened her blue eye and stared at Octavia. Among the surviving Sons, she expected herself to be the last to adjust to their newest member. Serving as Black Rose's agents was just one thing she and Rhapsody had done together. They had grown up in the same village, joined the Legion at the same time, and fought the same enemies. No matter how pragmatically she tried to look at it, she still felt the pangs of resentment that came up with seeing Sempony take Rhapsody's place.
"I was just going," she said.
Indeed, she was already wearing her gear, save for her breather mask, which she had tucked under a foreleg.
"I just stopped by to enjoy a little music. You're certainly talented there."
A ghost of a smile crossed Octavia's face.
"Thank you," she said.
"Lankot said that you wanted to see your family. Have you done so?"
Octavia looked away.
"I changed my mind. I think it would be too dangerous for me to show up in Canterlot for now. Especially since I came here."
Both eyes open now, Sable still merely snorted and moved on. Octavia was aware of their situation and still stayed. That should be a good sign. Sable had other matters to worry about for now, though. It had been days since she last dealt with Pinkie Pie. From what she had observed, her target had found herself a true Earth pony that Black Rose had inexplicitly told her to spare. Just how much Pinkie Pie had learned during the first few days of her studies was about to be tested.
"Excuse me, Miss Sablesteel."
Sable stopped and looked back. No pony had ever called her Miss Sablesteel. It sounded like something Lioncourt would use on the many, many mares he associated with.
"What do you want?"
she asked. She purposely let a hint of irritation creep into her tone, just to remind Octavia that she didn't enjoy trifles.
"Lioncourt told me that your task is to make things difficult for the pink pony."
"Lioncourt talks too much," Sable snapped.
This was just typical of him, messing around with every pony else's mission while he did his.
"But he's right. What about it?"
"If you need any help, I'd like to be more than just the mistress's personal cellist."
Sable turned around completely and studied Octavia, who returned her gaze with a serious mien that left her impressed and intrigued.
"By now you should know exactly what I do, Octavia," she said.
"Yes."
Sable noticed the faint, glowing thing hovering just next to Octavia's cello. Ever since she found her way here, Octavia had been repeatedly asked to play her cello. The requests were innocuous enough. Black Rose did enjoy music while she worked. More importantly, each performance allowed War Singer and its new player to harmonize.
"It's not about forcing," Rhapsody said once. "War Singer doesn't seize control to make you do things. It's more like it lets you do things you couldn't before, like having a supportive audience or having some pony hold your hoof."
Rhapsody had said that while she was drenched in Offerdad blood and standing in the middle of a destroyed camp, her serene voice punctuated by dying hisses. Through harmony with Warsinger, the filly who cried her eyes out when she saw Sable cut herself practicing gear maintenance became the mare that the Offerdites called Blood-Soaked Nightingale. However, Rhapsody had plenty of time to work with Warsinger, not just a few days.
"Did you make the same offer to Lioncourt and Longstride?"
she asked. Octavia hesitated at the question.
"Well, no, I suppose not."
"Then why make it to me?"
"Well, the Sink Pony..."
"So it's a grudge."
Sable Steel walked over and stared long and hard into Octavia's eyes.
"We don't do things out of grudges here, Octavia," she hissed. "We are the Sons, and we serve a higher purpose."
"We are the cleansing dark that floods the land, the eyes of the departed moon princess that decides who lives to see the dawn. We are the black moon blades, and we raise our weapons only for who we are, not what we feel."
Sable let her grandfather's words flood her. The black moon blades were dead, and the moon princess was her enemy. but she still firmly believed that she embodied their ideals. She backed up a bit when she saw that Octavia was holding her ground.
"I'll take up your offer," she said. "I think it's time for you to move up in tasks. I'm warning you, this is my mission. You do as I say and when I say. If you mess this up, I don't care if Wasinger picked you. I'm going to stick a needle under your tail and melt your innards. Are we clear?"
Sable saw a glimmer of fear within Octavia's eyes. The Chosen was still there after all. Perhaps that was a good thing. Having some form of backup gave her an idea as well.
"Do you remember that special chamber in your quarters?" she asked.
Octavia nodded.
"Go there and wait. I'll contact you when I need to. Warm up your cello or whatever you musicians do before performing."
Sable watched until Octavia was out of sight before heading for one of the temporary portals. The ones linked to Canterlot were the most dangerous ones to use, as they could be discovered by the Legion. Black Rose already had to destroy a few when Legionnaires started to close in on them, including the one Lioncourt had used to recruit Octavia. The dimensional door opened. It was a late afternoon sun that greeted Sable Steel when she stepped out of a hidden cellar in one of Canterlot's alleys. Her use of this portal would likely bring the need to destroy it, but it would be for a good cause. She had worked with Frenzy Heart enough times to know what a true Earth Pony channeler could accomplish. All she needed to do now was wait. As it turned out, she didn't even have to wait for very long. Half an hour later, she could hear the rush of hoofs heading towards her spot. Her target appeared by the entrance of the alley.
"I found you!"
Pinkie Pie said. She was panting and she was holding a channeler's tablet.
"Congratulations," Sable Steel muttered.
Blades sprang from her foreleg devices with a push of a button. Her stinger device clinked against the pavement.
"I'm not letting you hurt any pony I care about,"
Pinkie said.
You should just pick off and leave them alone."
"Or you'll what?" Sable Steel asked. "You're going to squeal at me some more? I think I'll kill one of them just for that."
"You're not going anywhere."
Pinky's high-pitched voice dropped to a growl. She planted her forelegs on the ground, daring Sable to try and get past her.
"I'd compliment you for being brave, Pinkie Pie," Sable said. "Except bravery includes knowing what you're in for."
Her tone dropped as well.
"You barely have an idea of what I can and will do."
Once more, Sable saw that glimmer of fear. Pinkie Pie composed herself, however.
"I'm not fighting you alone," she said. "Captain Nightcant and her friends were following me when I started chasing after you."
"Good," Sable replied. "I could use a workout."
She turned her focus on her communication device.
"Are you ready, Octavia?"
she whispered.
"Ready."
Sable Steel adjusted her communication device to synchronize with the special chamber in Octavia's quarters. Then she took to the air, hovering just high enough to look down on her target. Pinkie Pie's hoofs were trembling while she clutched her tablet tightly. But she looked determined to go through with this. This Captain Nightcanter must be a special operations squad leader. Sable would have a few minutes at best to see what Pinkie Pie could do before the rest of the Legion came down upon her.
"Let's go!"
Sable Steel began to swoop. Okay, there are two things in this chapter again that I want to talk about. As there are two parts of it, really, because one is Sable Steel going after her target and one is Longstride going after his target. I can see that it is a teensy bit embarrassing for a sniper who has a line of sight or a bow that can shoot as far as he can see and a magical eye that enhances his range of vision, that it would be a little bit embarrassing for him to have a target move out of range. That he actually helps her and
makes Scarlet get healing supplies or healing herbs, and that he prevents her from eating that poisonous stuff, I think is, well, maybe he's actually starting to like Rainbow Dash. That's at least what I think, because he also saved her from being raped. And, well, he is a stallion. I could say that he maybe has ulterior motives. It is possible, but we will see in the future, and I would like your opinion on that. The second part is Sable Steel going after Pinkie Pie again. Sable Steel seriously seems to enjoy Octavia's music, seeing as she is standing in front of Black Rose's quarters just to listen to it. And yeah, she doesn't really like Octavia, as far as it is said here explicitly. Because the former bearer of Warsinger, Rhapsody, was her friend. And yeah, it's not easy for her that way. But she is giving Octavia a chance to prove herself here. Because, well, I think she wants to know what Octavia can actually do. But then we have Octavia willing to help Sable Steel hurt Pinkie Pie. Okay, I get that Octavia might be a little upset about Pinkie crashing the Grand Galloping Gala when she was performing, or Pinkie Pie crashing that garden party by Fancy Pants, or Pinkie Pie, I guess I will just stop counting how many times Pinkie Pie has crashed something for Octavia now. She has a reason to be angry. Okay, I get it. But still, I would like your opinion on that. Because deadly retaliation, I don't think that's really called for here. Sincilius, Visual Pony.